Blog Talk Radio.
Hi guys, football as well. Welcome to the Steve Anderson Radio Show. You guys having a wonderful, wonderful evening. Guys, we're going to get into the topic pretty soon, but I want to say again, hope you guys are doing well. And I guess I want you to get some prayers out to not just individuals that need prayer, just families, period. I guess, you know, individuals and family members, yes, yes, that need prayer. There is some news that happened in Virginia. There was three Virginia football players killed, and ex-players in custody, and two students wounded. Actually, so suppose what happened is the football player was being picked on, and he liked how things were being carried out from other guys. I guess kept picking on the guys. Dad said, the one that killed other players. So he decided to take their lives. Very extremely sad. Something that you don't really hear about, or something that you would think that would care like that, because you run football players. Yeah, you have guys that's talking crap and whatnot, and really young lady named Brianna. We're going to bring on pretty soon, in a couple of weeks, young lady, and she's in the bullying. So I want to have her come in and give her take on it in a sense, right? Like I said again, that when I was playing football, you had a lot of guys bullying, picking on, but we'll laugh about it and keep going. That's just a thing that that guys do, not just guys, girls, athletic sports, not just that, even in work environment. You know, but obviously this was something extremely much major than being picked on for him to take someone's life. So let's get prayers out to those family members, because, you know, I guess there's more story come out. But at this time, let's make sure we say his prayers for those families, for those victims. And we got to pray for everyone, even. Yeah, it's just got to pray for everyone. It's just a sad, sad story. And for the football team to move forward and in a positive way and manner. Also, too, four students in Moscow and Idaho College found dead in an off-campus home. So I believe two of those girls were, I guess, almost pretty much best friends in a sense. But one, I think, was, I don't know if it was sisters or relatives or whatnot. I don't know about that, but I didn't really into that for detail about it, but they were found dead in their off-campus apartment home. Let's get prayers out for those families too. Is when you out, you know, you kind of think about this and go back to my college years. Even if you're at a party, wherever you may be, if you're passed out sleeping, you never think the one would try to kill you and a thing like that. It's just a very, very bizarre and crazy story, but it's very, very weird. You just have to get our prayers out for these family members, and just keep praying to Jesus to give you the strength, guys. What to do. Speaking of prayers, let me give you a prayer from Psalms 39, 9th chapter, 12th verse. It says, "Hear my prayer, Lord, and give ear to my cry. hold not your peace at my tears. Psalms 39, 12th chapter, right? 39th chapter, 12th verse, sorry. Hear my prayer, Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears. And, you know, it goes to, you think about all of us right now, some young, we have, there's kids that's young that's in college right now. And you just got to just, I tell you, I tell people I'm from the country, and we in the country, sometimes you're out there hunting, you be away and alone sometimes. You're never really alone, but I did a topic, guys, do you believe in angels? Please check it out and get a chance. Listen to that topic. Because the fact is, someone's always there. Say your prayers. When you can't, when things are out of your hand, you have to leave it in God's hand. My mom used to always say that. If it's out of your control, leave it in God's hand. He will fix it. And they will protect your babies, your adult kids, you, family members, et cetera. At the end of the day, God has all the answers and the reason for all of it. And some, and that's just the way it's going to be to the day we die. We'll get more into that. But I have a topic tonight, my observation during Grambling State University homecoming, some good, some troubling things that I want to talk about tonight. Also, two guys for you, if you want to listen to the show, you can call in www.blogtalkradio.com/Stevie Anderson Radio. And to participate live in the show, you can call in at 563-999-3665. And also, guys, too, I want you to know that G-Man Nation, I'm going to post some things about those guys. We've been set up on G-Man Nation as the family-oriented that you receive when you go to HBCU. That's extra bonus and extra advantages that you receive when you go to HBCU, the family environment, family. It's like when I went back, and I get into that, it's just that love that you get from faculty, the players you play with. It's just, it'll never ever go away. And that's what you receive when you go to HBCU. But also, too, guys, we may have a special guest coming in tonight. And I want to read this off, too. This is actually, I'm going to get back to my thoughts of good and my bad thoughts, okay? And those thoughts are going to be, we're discussing the good things. I'm going to be talking about just the family, just the people that I've met there. That would be talking about Charles Tarbert, who's at KGRM, an awesome gentleman, and Miss Adrienne Weber, Dean of the Library, okay? I'm about to read some things about this library. Hopefully she'll join us, so special guest. And about the alumni and other players and coaches, players and faculty members that I've met and friends that attended the Grambling State University with me, even from they call them the Arquis young ladies. They had an event. We stopped by there. I had Noah. Noah's actually 20 years of age. He's actually, I'm going to get into his clothing line. I'm going to post that and get into that at some point for you guys. So, you know, he's a young entrepreneur out of New Jersey. It's just fun hanging around him, I'm telling you guys. He just has so much energy, and that's what we need. We need that motivation that we have to also, too, keep our prayers for them so they keep that motivation going, guys, and keep them safe, right? And also, too, the troubling things I want to talk about tonight, the buildings, okay, the long walks, the fencing situation. I don't know what was that about. And also, too, I want to talk about the roads, and we'll talk about really just the landscaping lighting. So these are the things I'm going to be talking about that's troubling to me. And also, too, right now, guys, I have on the other line right now, I have Miss Deborah Gibson Westbrook to be co-hosting the show with me. Everyone say anything before I read off this some information from the library? You want to say hello to everyone?
Hello, everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone that's not mm-hmm. here and everyone that's coming.
That's right.
We are here.
So let me ask you a question. How's your evening going, lady?
No, you mean how is the evening going where I am in Texas and it's cold?
Yes,
it's
ma'am.
Cold.
Yes, ma'am. I'm specifically talking to Miss Deborah Gibson Westbrook. That's what I'm talking to right now.
It's been cold every day. Today is the only day it didn't rain, and so it's
really
going to get better. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm
so sorry that it's 61 degrees here right now. Really about 70 degrees. I'm so sorry. I apologize.
You're so funny.
I'm so sorry.
You're so funny. I know.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry that I didn't. I wish I was back in L.A. right now. I'm like, oh, my God.
But you know what, though? Texas is beautiful. Texas is beautiful. United States is beautiful, right? So everywhere we're at right now, it's always some people love the cold. Some people love the heat. I love the change
right.
of weather. I love the seasons. Always have. It's nothing like it. God knew what he was doing. But I want to read something to you because we may have a special guest that's calling in, Ms. Gibson.
Okay.
I want to read something about
okay.
the library. We're going to talk about the pros and cons, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That was just Clint Eastwood movie, old school country movie. You guys don't know anything about that.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a Western movie. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Oh, you did? Yeah. Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood, no joke.
Girl.
Okay. All right,
you're going to have me singing Rawhide, rolling. Keep them dogs.
Girl,
rolling,
you go way back. Hey, they're going to think we're crazy. All right, let me get, hey, but you know it. You do know it. Okay, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Western movies. I'm telling you, nothing like it. My gosh, it's so fun.
I'm
okay.
in love with
so
Roddy Yates. I was going to marry Roddy Yates. You better shut up, Cody.
Okay, hold on 1 second. We have a guest here. We have a guest.
Right.
Hold on 1 second.
All right.
Hello, thanks for calling the Steve Anderson Radio Show. Who is calling?
This is Adrian Weber from Grambling State University, the Dean's Library.
Oh, wow. So we have Miss Adrian Weber, the Dean of the Library for Grambling State University. Ooh-wee. So, Miss Weber. We have Miss Deborah Gibson Westbrook on the line. She'll be hosting the show with me. And I'm glad you, I'm so excited for you calling in. Guys, this young lady here, let me say this right now before we get started. I'm going to say this. I foresee the university, Grambling State University. Why can't Grambling State University be like an Oregon State University, like Oregon University? Why not, right? This is my whole vision. I'm just not saying on the radio show. And that's why I'm staying on Grambling. So we have some other things we're going to talk about, too, next week. Why can't Grambling State University be like Oregon? I know that Nike is CEO at Oregon, but I want to push to get Grambling just like I want Grambling to be that campus. When you put State Louisiana, I want Grambling to be that campus. That whole Interstate 20, I want that Grambling State University to be that campus. We want to push the fact that we get Grambling State University. We want a huge, huge, lit it up like we're going to Las Vegas sign on that interstate and not just like a little small mailbox in the sense of Grambling State University. So that's the vision that we're going with Grambling State University. I have to say this, Miss Adrian Weber, guys, we're so happy to have her on the line right now.
Yes.
This young lady is the real deal. And I'm going to tell you, I say this, that for us going forward, that with the pursuit of getting Grambling State University, the latest and the greatest of universities on that building platform, because we have the faculty, we have the student body that's graduated from Grambling, been to Grambling, that's all across the world, that's listening to the show right now, that have access to finances, to millions of dollars, to bring in the resources for this university, new infrastructure. Now, sad to say this, Mr. Adrian Weber is that person that I would put faith in. I'm going to say it again. She is the person that I would put faith in to see things in the right direction. And for you guys that's listening,
yes,
for you, Grambling Knights and any other CEOs or business owners or just you're being your own boss, all right? This is the lady that I had an opportunity to have. She shared her time with me to break some things down. Miss Adrienne Weber. So, Adrienne, where are you from?
I'm originally from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Okay.
I've been at Grambling since January 2019, and I've enjoyed every minute being there. Being here, I've come to work with the university. It's the state of Louisiana is home for me, and I wanted to come back home. I've been around to several universities across the country, and I wanted to bring my skill set and talent back to the state of Louisiana, and the opportunity afforded me to come to Grambling and work with building what is going to shape the future in information transformation and how our students obtain information and prepare them to be competitive and on the forefront when they're going to graduate school, when they're going into industry, that they will be able to have the research skills that's needed to be competitive. And when someone asks them, where did you learn how to do that, confident, they can continue to say, at Grambling State University, they will be able to say, I am information literate, and put it on their resume and be able to compete with everybody from all of the institutions that are out there. They will be using a world-class library because we have to know where the trends are going now. Our students and many of us rely very heavily on our cell phones to obtain information. And to do that, we need to move them and transfer them from Google, unless they're using Google Scholar, but we definitely have to move them from Wikipedia and some of these sites that can instantly be manipulated and move them into using resources that are authoritative, peer-reviewed, and validated so that when they put their names on it and they pass it forward, that they can stand behind it and no one will question them. And so when we make sure that they're information literate, because that's what we're teaching and pushing to our students through the disciplines in which they have chosen to set their lives forward. So we work with the faculty and in their classrooms, and we want to make sure that they have access to the resources that are available. The university is investing in their future. The state is investing in the future of the products that we produce that represent the G. And they're information strong.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
So let me ask you.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I have a question. The library, I wanted to go visit the library, but I didn't get an opportunity because I was just there on the campus the week of the Alcorn game and the week of homecoming. So are they doing tours or can we just come, or do we need to call and reserve so we can come and get a tour of the library?
We're not readily doing tours at this time because the building has not been turned over to the university right now.
Okay.
It's still with the contractors. So we are very limited in the tours that we're doing. But hopefully I met with someone today, and hopefully we will be doing that very soon. But what we want you all to know is that we are preparing for the day when it will be readily available for students to use it on a daily basis. We do have an area on campus that students can access all of the resources. We have a remote location in Charles P. Adams. So we have a number of computers. We have over 50 computers available in a study area where students can come in and use and obtain the information that they need for study session.
Ms. Weber, let me read this, guys, too, before we get going. First of all, I'd like to say, Ms. Weber, guys, and I'm sorry, young ladies out there, I know you guys are going to not like when I say this, but she is AKA, am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Ms. Weber? Okay, AKA. Yep. My mom's AKA, so, but I'm, you know, guys, young ladies, don't get mad at me for saying that. I'm just saying that she's AKA. So.
Zeta's are fine with that. Zeta's are fine with that. Zeta's are all right with that.
But let me read this, Ms. Weber, if I can read this. It says, Grambling State University, GSU, will officially open the first digital library house at any historical college and university, HBCU, campus, and the first of its kind in the state of Louisiana. The planning fast-moving and digital library project being in 2017 when President Richard J. Gallo, Jr. petitioned for the closure and support to replace the university's previous facility. Okay, the A.C. Lewis Memorial Library, which was constructed in 1962. Our hand-working administration, alumni, faculty, and University of Louisiana System, ULS, leadership partnered with students to garner both funding and commitments to make a new facility a reality. All right, one last thing. The digital library will add more than 50,000 square feet of learning space to the university, city of Grambling, and the North Louisiana community. Primarily the facility will serve the university's growing student body, providing over 250 students computer stations, 17,000 square feet of dedicated study space, and access to millions of electronic and digital resources, ebooks, video, microphone, maps, and et cetera, and 5,000 square feet of multi-purpose space to support student programming and community events. Now, this is what we want, the restart and new latest and the greatest of reconstruction on the way for Grambling. So, Ms. Weber, I have a question.
Yes.
So, you're the dean. You're the dean. So explain what the dean is. So you're the chief. So if I come in there with my pants all the way down to my knees, my ankles, and walk in there, is it okay if I run like that?
Absolutely
just,
not.
Okay. Yes,
no,
okay.
This is an academic facility.
My responsibility
as the dean of the library is to prepare students coming in how they should be when they leave out.
Mm.
I have a responsibility to the student. My staff's responsibility is to prepare the student for the world. They're being judged no matter what they say.
They're being
judged by how they appear.
Mm-hmm.
Say it again. Yes.
They're being judged by how they appear to those who see them.
That's right.
My job, if I let them walk out as they walk in, I've done them a great disservice. I've done their parents a great disservice. I've done whoever their support system is a great disservice by not correcting their behavior.
Right.
And I have disappointed myself and my mother and my father because the same way I entered college,
mm-hmm.
I left a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody took the time to mold me to who I am, I should take that same energy and invest in the students who walk through the door today. Now, does that mean that they're going to be happy with what I say to them? Not always. but it's my responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I've had students who were very upset with me.
Can I get over it?
But when they're upset, at the moment, they may not see and understand why I said what I said to them.
Right.
But when somebody says something to them and they reflect back on what I said to them, they come back mm-hmm. and say, thank you.
Exactly.
Or when that aha moment hits them, they come back and they say, you know, if you had not corrected me, then I may not have gotten this job that I have or gotten the opportunity to show what I know.
Right.
And that's what we live to do when we work at our institution. But we have to put that best foot forward.
Mm-hmm. We have to put it better. When we were in school at Grammar, we couldn't even get in. The young men could not come in the library with T-shirts on. They could not. They could not come in the library with T-shirts on. The girls, we couldn't come in there with little see-through tops and shorts where you could see the boots and stuff like that. That you get turned on. I'm like, no, baby. Go put on some clothes and then come back. I mean, seriously. Yeah. When we were in school at Grambling, I don't know where they got lost, but it got lost. But thank you for saying that, because we definitely got to get that back. I was just sharing with my husband earlier today. There's a scripture that says that the elder women are to teach the younger women and so on and so forth. And so the same thing with the men, because somewhere the teaching got lost. And so the kids was like, okay, well, I can do whatever. So I appreciate you saying that, because we got to get back to that. We do.
Absolutely. Awesome. Yeah. Right now, my graduate assistant is working on the policies and procedures for the library. And I said, listen, I need you to look for dress codes for the library.
Thank
you. And she said, dress codes? I said, absolutely.
I love that. I love that.
We are an academic building.
Hello.
And there are certain things that you have to do in the academic building. There's certain ways that you should dress when you go to class.
That's right.
And some things are just unacceptable.
Right.
And so we'll give us an opportunity to show the students what is acceptable.
Right.
I mean, we hope to have a presentation room in the library. That's one of the things that I want us to have, so that students will be able to present themselves and critique and have their instructors to critique them when they're preparing for an interview. And one of the goals of that is I want to have alumni to sign up in various industries, so that if a student comes in and signs up who might be a computer science or a business major, person will sign up to interview this student. And so when the student comes in, the interviewer will see that student when he or she enters the door. And if they're not properly dressed, then that person will say, I'm sorry, Adrian, you're not dressed properly for the interview.
Right.
You need to reschedule and come back. That then tells that student, oh, this is a mock interview, but this is a real mock interview that's preparing me for an employer.
Right.
And then that professor should also know that the student wasn't prepared. And then when the student comes back and he or she is properly dressed, they will get a recording of that interview to hear what they sound like. To look at the body language, because they need to know what they're transferring to the next person. And that's how we cut out so many different things when we do that, and we prepare them effectively to represent our institutions and prepare them, because we have to know what the industries are saying. They're saying that our students are paying back their student loans, or they can't get employed. Why can't they get employed? We need to have the situations to prepare them so that they can get the jobs that they have studied hard for.
Right.
And when we graduate them, they go out, they get the jobs because they are prepared theoretically, practically, and in every fashion. So when they interview, they want to hire them because they are a well-rounded, and they can come to the library and get everything that they need there.
I have a question. And also, too, Ms. Adrian, I have another call on the line. Caller, thanks for calling the Students Radio Show. I have Ms. Weber, Adrian Weber, the dean of the Grambling State University Library, okay, the digital library, the latest and the greatest of Louisiana and just the world, period. But also, too, we have Ms. Deborah Westwood Gibson as co-host. And so, caller, you want to state your name? Hello?
Hey, this is Alan Jones from California. How you doing?
You may listen to Ms. Weber. You want to have a question for Ms. Weber about the library, the digital library? You have a question?
I've been sitting and listening for a while, and I remember hearing her valuable input from one of your shows back earlier, you know, one of the Dion episodes. And as eloquent as she was, I definitely concur with everything she said. A lot has been lost in the HBCU atmosphere in terms of the preparation for betterment of self. And basically everything along those lines, the mock interview, the professional preparation, or rather being able to walk into a situation that's looking for, monitoring, and evaluating professional appearance and skill set, et cetera, is key for minority students, because in the culture of advancement of
Hold on one second. I can't hear that clear, Alan. You kind of reckon, and someone is making some noise in the background, please. I can't hear that clear. You sound muffled.
How
you sound
is
very
this?
Muffled. That is.
How is this
clear?
Is this better?
I love it.
That's
good.
Yes.
Okay. All
yes.
right. Now, what were you saying? Sorry about that. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I had my earpiece in.
And then that was Ms. Gibson that you were referenced as been on the show co-hosting, but this is Ms. Weber.
Yes, I remember the name.
Ms. Weber.
Yes, she's
Ms. Weber is on the line. She's the dean at Grambling State University. Okay, at the library.
Oh, wow.
This is the lady who's been speaking about the library and about the interviews and whatnot with the library would be occurring within the library. So this is who you're speaking with. But go ahead now. Sorry about that.
Oh, I gotcha. Exactly. Well, points ever so eloquently and accurately made. Within the HBCU atmosphere, I feel it's tremendously beneficial for a lot of the students to really understand the importance of self-presentation and mastery of that sphere of knowledge within, you know, their discipline, of course. And the dress reflects that, because people evaluate you on the first, 7 seconds when they meet you by the way you speak, your emotional level of input, that, you know, to see if it matches, as well as evaluating your trustworthiness. And crazy as it sounds, your dress has an impact on all of that as well. Your visual. I mean, why do you think the news hires anchors to, you know, to be pretty, whether they're men or women, to, you know, capture that attention? But nevertheless, the stronghold of the first digital library, seeing how I'm a tech guru. I've been immersed in technology since the beginning, and gosh, the smart card technology and encryption. I used to be a Shaolin priest with encryption and smart card technologies for digital trans-terrestrial television. And I see that as tremendously important. And, you know, with that, I'll stop there. I don't want to ramble on, but just to let you know that I appreciate it from a position, from an angle that does notice that, because I did attend for a short time in HBCU as well as one of the top schools in the state. I grew up in North Carolina. So I have a good evaluation on both sides, seeing it on both sides of the coin. So with that, I'll shut up now.
I have a question.
Sure.
For you. I have a question for you. So my husband hates this, to piggyback off of what Dean Weber said. So she can count on you to be one of those possible future alumni of the HBCU to possibly visit the library somewhere in the future to do those mock interviews, because I'm interested. I definitely want her to put me on the list. And I was listening to what
it
you
wouldn't
said.
Be
yeah.
impossible. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Matter of fact, my brother used to be a big top investigative journalist, and the Shaman library there in New York, they were going to put up they had a whole wing they had just built, and they were segmenting an area for all of his educational materials, all of his show presentations. He won the Polk Award for exposing Iran-Contra. He was one of the ones that spared that had best documentary in 1992. So I appreciate definitely that core functioning hub of information and quality knowledge-based nuggets, you might say, on a digital platform. So I would be glad to put my name in the hat because Steve and I are very good friends. And although my travels take me a little bit around about and everything else, but let's just say that Louisiana is between California and North Carolina. So it's not too
yeah,
far.
Yeah,
Dean
Weber, did
one
you
way.
Get that? You got his name?
I'm
did
sorry?
You get the... No, I was asking Dean Weber if she got your name. I want her to have your name. Okay.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure. Alan Jones.
Mm-hmm. And also, hey, Steve, you want to ask you have another question? You have any other questions you want to ask Ms. Weber? I can get that to her. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, one quick question that you may have already covered because I came in a little bit late on the call. The digital library, I understand it's the only one in the state there at the HBCU, which is fantastic, and the legislation evidently has a restriction on, I guess, any other locations. How did that come about in order to land that particular scenario?
Now, to be honest with you, I was not here when that legislation happened, but that it is it's a legislative designation in the state of Louisiana. And
that right there is good enough for my level of the question of the level I was asking. It's great that Grambling got it, but I understand that they limited it to just a single location, so that's fantastic.
Right. And we're the, for an HBCU, we're the only digital born, and I specified digital born library because, you know, after the pandemic, 99% of the libraries are digital now. You get your information in because no one was going to a facility to use the library during the height of the pandemic.
Right.
During that time, we were literally breaking ground to build this facility. And before the pandemic, Grambling was blessed to design a facility that was to be digital. So this brainchild and the foresight that the president, and he talks about being blessed to even think about what could Gremlin have that would be the next greatest thing that would come up with library. And
awesome.
That's how the digital library was born here at the institution. So President Gallo had some foresight in this. What would we do? What could put us ahead? And so we have this digital library that's digital born, and no one else in the HBCU world has this. And in Louisiana, no one else will have this. And so the students here at Gremlin are very fortunate to be able to have this type of facility and take advantage of being able to say, we have it here. Mm-hmm. And the resources are at our fingertips.
I have a question. What is Ms. Weber? What is the what would be the? Do you know the hours yet? What would be the hours and art for the library?
You know, as people, everybody likes new. So if I say what the hours are going to be now, it will not. No one will agree that that's going to be enough time.
Right, I got you.
They'll be saying, we need to be
we
open 24 hours.
Right.
And,
right.
And that's almost unrealistic.
Dean Weber, it's not. I go to the library at UTA here in Arlington, and if you're a non-student or a non-employee, you are allowed to be in the library from the time it opens in the morning until midnight. Now, at midnight, you're not available, but the students and staff can still be there. So it's actually open almost 24 hours. It really is. You can kind of Google that. But, and I think it's so nice because people are working and everybody have different shifts. So sometimes people need to go to the library during that time. I'm not saying that the library at Gremlin would have that 24-hour, but they do have them.
And then, I'm sorry. And then if there's any snafu or any electronic gremlins in the system that causes someone to have electronic issues, help desk remote is actually very minimal. Very minimal intervention is required. It's to alleviate any minor problem during the late night hours. Even 24-hour help desk is manned very simply. Coming from a tech support, mastery of tech support environment that I used to be involved with, all the way to extreme remote satellite support. So it is possible 24 hours without a heavy impact.
But now all of our resources are available 24/7, 365 now.
Mm-hmm.
So students have access to the resources. The manpower and students coming in and so.
The
physical access to the facility itself.
The physicality. My bad. Exactly.
Quick
question.
In terms of using the resources that we have available, everybody has access to all of the resources.
Quick question. You mentioned earlier the facility and its new digital. It was thought of the brainchild of the head of the university, et cetera. But real quick, is that a new building? I heard you say the word breaking ground, whatever. Is that a new facility or
was it built
out of an existing structure?
It is a very new facility.
We breaking ground. We have a ribbon cutting ceremony new. Oh, okay.
We're in the process of trying to get our date together for the ribbon cutting.
Oh, wow.
Actually, it's just in the position where Wheatley Hall Dormitory was, what, 8 floors, I believe, and it was the freshman dormitory. So it's in the position where Wheatley Hall used to be. So it's brand new.
Oh, wow.
I totally forgot Wheatley Hall was there. Now I remember. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yes, that's where it was.
I have a question. So you're saying for the public now, so, you know, when we come home, say, Christmas time and usually homecoming, I guess I haven't been to homecoming in a long time, but when I do come home and I need to get paperwork and study and prepare for a show or whatever I may be doing, the public, will it be open to the public?
It will be available for the public. There are something, we will have some public access, some public or community stations available.
Okay. All right. So, you guys, you have any other questions you want? Oh, one other question is, now that GSU has updated the library, do you believe that the campus improvement, you know, would be, no, I'm not going to ask that question. I'm not going to, no, I handle it. Let me see if I have everything here. Okay. Do you think anything to be, what do you think, as well, but before I let you go, I'm enjoying your time. We're enjoying your time. I know you have to go. Can you think of anything else that may be needed or added to the library in the processes of the unveiling?
I think that as we move into the library and we identify the needs of the students, and as times change, there's always going to be something else that we can add to the library or programs that will come to the campus that will reveal that we need to upgrade and we will have expansion of this facility. I think that we sit in a corridor that will eventually dictate research and expansion of this facility. So as we grow, we will go. And when we go, we will constantly need those who will pour and invest into the facility and pour into the resources that are needed. And as people have resources, skills, and talents that they've had over the years through their academic endeavors and what they're doing in their professional lives, we would embrace alums to share with us and tell us what they're doing in life that they feel would be an asset to the library to share with the students. You know, we have a seminar room in there, and we have people who have written books. We have artists. We have entertainers. There's so many things that are available to us that sometimes people just want to be able to share what they're doing. What better place for them to share with the student body than in the library? Because it's an exchange of information. And until we share with the students what all they can be and what they're doing. I mean, my undergrad degree was in communications. No one and my friends, when I decided to go to library school, none of my friends even thought I would be a librarian. I didn't think I would be a librarian. The best decision that I could ever make in my life was to change my focus and become a librarian. So just to see students open up. I mean, right now I have 5 students here at Grambling who said to me, I want to go to library school. I'm trying to figure out how to get them to library school. So when you see that and you're showing students how they can do what you're doing, and it may not have been the direction that they wanted to go in, but now you've opened up a new window for them that they mm-hmm. can see themselves going through that window and exploring the world because you've given them something new to look at. That's when you know that you're doing something. So if there are alums who are out there who are doing something fascinating and you just want to come and share, I welcome that opportunity. And they don't have to be alums. But if you just want to share with the students the opportunity to change your trajectory, because sometimes they just need to know that the information's out there. And that's what the library does. It gives you the opportunity to find and investigate what's out there and what's available. We are the information window to the world. You know, Dr. Seuss said it better, all the places you will go. Just opening a book up, our books just happen to be electronic.
Right.
But you can still go and investigate and learn so much about what's out there and what's available right here at Grambling State University, right on the corner where Wheatley used to be, when I used to come and visit my friends at Wheatley. And when they asked me, where's the new library? I said, where Wheatley used to be. Oh.
You said archives. You said something about archive. You have an archive area, something like that. You mentioned something. Did someone have a visit? There's some. I don't know. You want to share? I don't know what you want to share, but has anybody been to visit? Also, well, okay. You have an archive section, and has anyone major been to visit the library so far that we don't know about? Are you? Maybe we'll share that later. Okay.
Well, I can share some of it now. When we started packing up to leave the old building, we found so many treasures that the university had in our archives. And the archives tells the story and the history of the university. Those who have come through the university, the documents that are there, tell who Grambling is as an institution. Who
preach now? Preach.
Who made the university what it is? Those great philosophers, those instructors, who wrote the story. And sometimes those persons are forgotten. Those persons in the community are forgotten.
Right.
And so we were selected as one of the institutions to be a part of the conversation with the Smithsonian Institution through the Robert F. Smith Foundation, to have these conversations and to look at what we have in our archives. We're not in the building yet. We haven't brought those things over and unearthed what we have. We do know that we have treasures. But what we do know is that we're going to be in partnership with individuals from the Smithsonian. And that then elevates what we have and what we can showcase the world. We will still maintain the ownership, but just knowing that we have something that we can share with the world that no one has seen before, and we're going to be sharing. We're going to see it, and we get to share it with them, and they're willing to help us get this information, put it in order, digitize it, and share it properly, store it, continue to preserve it, and just make it available so that people you have heard about, stories you have heard about, now you'll be able to read and see all of this wonderful information that's available about the institution. So it's a statewide project, and now North Louisiana and Grambling State University, the Piney Hills, will be a part of this history that's being shared.
Yeah, that's very powerful scenario that you just laid out there. It's really simple. That digital library is key to setting the brush fires of knowledge and freedom in the minds of men, you know, there on the campus, you know, and women, of course. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about they're now able to create a visualization of success through this knowledge, through these scenarios that are brought to their attention, these stories from people who have done it, et cetera, exposure to a lot of information that that has passed them by up until this moment of time because of it being only, entertainment-based or relationship-based, not on shoring up knowledge and using your discernment. These things are all feeding into that portion of their mindset and seeing who they are as a person and coming to a realization that, hey, I can do that too by simply hearing a story directly from the mouth, the presentation, a book, a novel, you know, that they may have written, that comes directly from that person who actually did it right there at the library, giving them access to what they didn't have ready access, or at least you might say motivated to use that access up until now. So that's very powerful.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
You know, if we have persons who may have their grandparents or great grandparents' diaries who were students from the inception of Grambling in 1901, and one of their descendants were to read a letter that they had written about coming to school at Grambling between 1901 and 1910, and we had that oral history that was digitized.
Right.
And just think how powerful it is, because here's what our students need to hear. They need to hear and know the history. We make it alive. We need to be able to make it alive to them. And then it will give the university will be a little bit more to them, because now it's realistic.
Right.
And we put all of these things together.
Can I interject just a quick story as what impacted me when I was younger? I came from an educated household. My father was the head of the education department at A&T State University. And so growing up as a kid, I was the youngest of four boys. And growing up as a kid, I was coming into my own, young, 8, 10, whatever, and realizing that I had some common sense and I actually had some intellect. So my wings started to grow then, And then I saw a letter my mom showed me, and it was from Coretta Scott King. And it was dated between the Voters' Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. And she was at A&T State University giving a speech, and the letter was apologizing that she did not have time to come by the house. My mom was good friends with Martin Luther King Jr. back in school, blah, 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 family friends.
Wow.
And, I was a kid. I saw, it was just incredible back then. And so I read the letter, and it said, Manla, it's a great time for the Negro in North America, in the United States, blah, 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 et cetera. And the first paragraph was real structured, very persnickety, structured letter. And I'm a kid reading this. It's not just a personal
quick typed letter. It's perfectly typed, perfectly laid out, because it was going to be part of the archives, perhaps, you know, and that's how it was presented. So I'm reading it, and it said that she's apologizing. I've been whisked off the stage immediately after my speech here at Ante State University, and I didn't have time to stop by the house. I apologized. I had to hurry up and get back to meet Martin, because we had to then go, Secret Service with me off stage, we had to then go to D.C. to sign the, you know, Civil Rights Act. And I'm looking at this, reading this, and I'm going, what? She's apologizing because she didn't have time to come to the house because she had to sign the, you know, the Civil Rights Bill, you know. And it impacted me that, wow, you know, people can be involved in these big events, you know, these human events of history. You know, it's nothing special. Anybody can be a part of it if you allow yourself to be the best you can be and be put in that positioning. And also my mom's brother was one of the first Tuskegee Airmen, a Frederick Douglass Knight, awarded Congressional Gold Medal of Honor. So as a kid, I freaked on just having access and being a part of and seeing it being real. It wasn't just something in the page of a book or something that somebody that you see on television totally unrelated to you. And that is what sparked me in my quest for education and all. And all I'm saying is that firsthand information coming directly from a presentation from someone there at the library, and there's their book right there or whatever, people, once they make that connection of, I can do that too, that's not impossible for me. It's only hard. All I got to do is prepare. Then the spark is lit. That's all I'm
saying. Absolutely.
Do you know, guys, do you know, in here in South Florida, in elementary in South Florida, the school now has new teaching and learning standards requiring students to learn from digital resources. In third grade, students must read an article and contrast the information to a digital source. They must now know how to research digital resources. That's
exactly
that's here in South Florida. Yeah. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And so that's the way the world is going. And so we can't fight it,
and
we have to be prepared for it. Our students have to be prepared for it, because those employers, I'm going back to where our students are headed, those employers, children, are the ones who are doing this now, those third graders, those HR directors, those managers. Their children are the third graders that you're talking about. So when they start talking to our students and they want to know, well, I need you to do some research, because we don't know the dynamics of interviews now. And so when they start asking, well, you know, I'll give them a scenario where they have to do some work right there on site. I need you to research this, and I want you to do a comparison or something, but all you have is a computer in front of you to start this comparative study. And if you don't know how to research it using electronic resources, and you Google it and you pull something from Wikipedia, you could end up like a researcher did. A supposedly researcher did, pull it from Wikipedia and use it as your own work, present it at a conference, and the person who actually wrote the article challenged the person at a conference.
Right.
And you lose all credibility.
Right.
You know, that is what you just said is worth gold nuggets. I'm going to interject another really super short story this time as to what helped me out in school starting around like the eighth grade, ninth grade. You know, writing papers always freaks people out. You know, they get tense and never can get started. Well, I was, like I said, I'm the youngest of four. And My oldest brother, the one that was an investigative journalist, he was the oldest. He said, look, it's like playing cards. Whoever has the biggest source wins. So you want to find a source, not a seven of diamond level, not a queen of spades. You want to use a source that is minimum ace of spades, if you can, the little joker, and if you really can, the big joker. Use the congressional record. Don't be scared of big words. And that's how I learned how to write research papers and all of that. And they were always at the, you know, at the cutting edge of success because the sources were so high. We need to teach our youth how to write, how to evaluate, use their discernment to just sift through what's the biggest source, the most credible source to cite. And that'll alleviate a lot of nonsense and thumbing through the first thing they get to, like you said, a Wikipedia or, you know, some nonsensical four of diamonds level source. Does that make
sense? Absolutely.
Exactly.
I do.
He explained it to me like that, and I had made straight A's, Dean's list from that point on.
When I do information literacy, I do a concept map with everybody, with all of my students.
Good.
When they're writing, I said, we're going to just put everything away. You know what you're writing on. Let's do a concept map. And they go, what's a concept map? We're going to start with the most simple part, and a lot of times if we don't start with their idea, I say let's start with candy. Put candy in the middle. Now let's talk about all sorts of candy. And then when they see that aha moment, it's all over. Then they can work on whatever it is that they have to turn in.
Because what you did was spark.
I want to add a note.
That burning bush.
I want to add a note.
Okay.
Because Stevie and I, we have a family background where our families was entangled with each other. And his mother was my fourth grade teacher, but yes, we got to make her up. Yes. But just to add on to what she was saying, when I was at Grambling, we had cooperative education. And my nephew just got his master's a couple of years back, and I brought up cooperative education. I said, well, did you sign up for co-op? And he was like, Auntie, what is that? I said, what do you mean, what is that? Because it was the norm when you made it to your junior year, and you could still do it in your sophomore year, that you would start doing interviews. You start doing interviews and preparing yourself when you graduate, and cooperative education was one of those things where co-op was basically you work for a semester, you get credit, you get paid, you make money, you're learning, it's training and all that and stuff. And with the co-op, you were taught how to dress, how to present yourself in interviews and so on. And he said, they don't have that anymore. And so I was like, who? So I was trying to figure out why we don't have that anymore, because it seemed like everything that they need, it was gone. I was like, okay, so the one thing that I could say from what I've seen at Grambling State University, I can't speak for other schools, but I can speak for Grambling, we got away from so many of the things that was educating us and training us and preparing us when we go into the working class world so the kids got lost. I mean, I started talking about the bookmobile in one of my classes when I was teaching full time, but I started talking about the bookmobile and how my grandfather would schedule and it would come out, because kids who lived out in the country, they didn't have access to the town library. So my grandfather was scheduled for the bookmobile to come out, and we'd sit there for 2 or 3 hours, and everybody in the little community would come, and then you could check books out, and then a couple of weeks later, it would come back. They was clueless to what I was talking about. I mean, I know we're military kids and where we came from, but it was just so awkward that so much that we got when we were growing up, it just got lost some kind of way. So I'm hoping that this whole process with the digital library, I'm excited about it. Other than me being on the radio show with Stevie, mm-hmm. he invited me. But I'm really a television production person, and I've been teaching TV production for the high school system. I started in Los Angeles in 1987. And so much that the kids were getting in L.A. by the time I moved back to the South, the kids here were not getting it and stuff. And so I'm listening to the young man that's speaking. Definitely, the kids are going to need this because we need this. We need the digital library because everything is so visual. It's so visual now that. When I say our kids, I'm talking about the HBCUs. The HBCUs miss a lot of stuff because we had stuff at one time, but we lost it. And I don't know why we lost it or who we lost it, but I hope that they hear what I'm saying. We need to get that back because those are the things that we need, and that's why we have a generation that's lost. And Ms. this Webber, digital library is definitely going to help.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I have one suggestion, something in the future, you know, develop something real simple, attention getting. The kids nowadays know how to use computers. They are aware of all kind of websites, creating silly content for their Instagrammers and TikTok, whatever. What
right.
about getting their attention with authoritative content creation? All that means is how to write a paper with a very high source. Instead of telling them that, which is dry, authoritative content creating. Well, so you can write, you can get a job as a writer, a technical writer for a scientific company or for this type of corporation or just this type of small business or for your own small business, you know, whatever. But it can incorporate the same tools that you need in high-level academia to be effective, but it's called something that they can viscerally connect with. You know, in other words, cross-hatching it so it gets their attention. And maybe somewhere in there, the type of workshops or exposure or academia-related coursework, you know, because the youth do need stimulation from something that they do know to bridge them over to something that they need and feel unfamiliar with. So, you know, maybe that's a psychological way to get them really pulled in.
So I'm going to let you guys, Ms. Webber, I thank you for your time. I want you to, first of all, you can read, I think, you wanted to give out your information, how we can reach you, your email address, Ms. Webber? You want to give an email, and then
yes.
unless you have some closing thoughts, and then because what happened, I think I'm going to bring you back on to another show because I didn't get to some things I wanted to talk about around the university. I want to bring you back on for sure. But you want to give us how can we reach you?
Yes, my email address is Webber, WEBBERA. @gram.edu. That's Webber, WEBBERA, @gram.edu. And I'm Adrian Webber. This has been a very good conversation. Time well spent. I've enjoyed myself immensely. I tell people, this is what I do. I am a librarian, and I made the decision to be a librarian, and I never thought, as I said earlier, that I would be a librarian. And so anytime that I can share what I do and what I do with students to make sure that they reach their greatest potential, because when they leave Grambling State University, they represent me, represent you all,
when they leave Grambling State University or any institution, any HBCU, they represent all of us.
Right.
And so one of the things that a colleague said to me once, no one graduates from the library. My job is to make sure that no one graduates without the library. So what I'm going to always do is make sure that the resources that a student needs while he or she matriculates at Grambling State University is available and readily available for that student so that he or she can reach his or her greatest potential and know how to access the resources needed so that they can articulate what's needed to be as strong as they can be in their chosen profession. And once they know how to do that, it is applicable in every facet of their life. No doubt about it. They are getting competitive with anybody in the world.
Before you, I thought about something. You said articulate. So I in my seventh grade, I had a problem. I mentioned this before. And I didn't have the grades to move on. I told people this. And I'm saying it for a reason, right? And I'm proud to say this. I was lazy in class. I was. I wasn't paying attention at all. I was. I really wasn't. And but I had some things going through my mind. I had some things going on that I would not share. But I would say this. I ended up going to this teacher, a reading for English, and it was the best move my mom and my dad made for me my entire life. And I learned to articulate. It was the greatest and the best thing ever happened to me. That was, I think I was maybe 12 years old, 11 years old. It was the best. I still think about it today. And I was, no, I was probably about 12, 13. But I still think about it. It was awesome. So the articulation, you're saying, I know there's tons of people around the world that needs that and want that and don't know how to, right? They would love to know and how to articulate, how to really speak. It helped me a lot, and it's always more to know, to learn, and that's what I'm doing. I stress a lot of professional athletes with concussions and whatnot. I tell people if I don't read, it kind of fades away. You have to kind of keep it moving, staying active like you. If I don't work out, I tighten up. It's because of the sports, right? And everything that was given you back in professional sports, shots, whatever. But sad to say this, that it almost need to be, for what I experienced and what I learned, and I'm glad I went through it, I would say that it need to be so many hours at university, at Grambling State University, that the student must take digital hours to have that credit for going toward the degree. It needs it. It needs to be something that a policy that needs to come from the university, period. Because, like you say, when you live in the real world, Ms. Weber, they need to know how to, when they're addressing anyone, and need to know how to place their verbiage, their words, et cetera. And what you have here is a gold mine. I just want to, in the future, let's just not put a library at Grambling State University and just sit down. We're not going to allow that to happen. That's not going to happen. Grambling is going to start from this library and going to keep moving at light speed, you know. So that's our goal we want to get to. But I just wanted to say that I think it's something we require and need to be put in place there at the university. Because it's a need, like you said, articulation. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I just went back. Sorry about that, but go ahead.
I think that one of the things that having this facility and having the people in place, we needed to have the facility to be able to get a class in place that deals with the literacies as a whole. And
right.
once we move in, we get, I won't say totally settled. It's going to take us some years to kind of really get our groove going with mm-hmm. everything that the library will have to offer. But what we can do once we get all of the people in place is to have a class that's available for students to understand what the literacies are.
Right.
And the value of having these literacies in place. And those literacies will take them through evaluation of what's needed. Because first you have to understand what you need.
Right.
Where to get it. How to properly apply it. And how mm-hmm. to transfer that in every aspect of life. Mm-hmm. Once you do that, then here comes, you have those basic things. Then how do you apply it when you're speaking?
Right.
How do you apply it financially? How do you converse? How do you transfer the knowledge? How do you find somebody who does not understand what you're saying? And you take that person and then you teach them what you know. Because now you're bringing somebody along.
Right.
Once you do that, you start paying it forward. Because you don't want to leave anyone behind, because you see the value in knowing what you know. So I think
right.
that once we get everything in place, then we can start doing just what you're saying. Because the articulation
okay.
will come. The conversing
okay.
will come. Because the library will be a collaborative on the first floor. We're going to have some collaborative spacing in there so that students will be able to talk with one another. Still,
mm-hmm.
we have to insert ourselves sometimes to have that articulation component. So that's that going back mm-hmm. to that presentation role. And those presentation
right.
rooms can also become podcast rooms. And with the podcast room, somebody's going to be listening to them. And if the
right.
conversations aren't correct or proper, then it's still our duty to make sure that the articulation is reflective of that of a college student. So we have to, sometimes we have to put on that armor and be bad enough to go in there and say to the student, hey, you need to be reflective of the institution in which you represent, where you're standing.
Right.
I love it.
So you're standing.
I love it.
If you're saying that you're standing, you're on Grambling State University's campus and that's where you're
yes.
producing this, then reflect it.
Right.
Wear that hat.
Right. Well,
and
guys,
wear it proudly.
Ms. Weber, I cannot thank you enough for joining, coming on the show, and giving the world about the latest and the greatest of a library in Grambling,
yes.
Louisiana, North Louisiana, off of Interstate 20. We still going to get that sign
yes.
up there on Grambling State University. We're going to get that sign on Interstate 20. I want that sign to be 5,000 by 5,000 square feet wide. all digital. I want, you know, like you're going to Vegas, right? Did you turn off? You'd be like, okay, it's not Vegas.
And it says, if you can't find it, email weberA@gram.edu.
Right.
That's right.
Exit 81.
Exit 81. That's right. That's right. We're going to get that sign. I'm serious, though. I'm serious. We're going to get that sign up there. But, Ms. Weber, again, I said, guys, for Ms. Weber, W-E-B-B-E-R, A, the letter A, like Apple, @gram.edu. Ms. Weber, thank you so much for joining. And we're gonna have
thank
to, I'm gonna step another show.
Anytime.
Probably. I'm gonna bring you back on because I want to ask some other things I want to talk to in reference to a lot of the athletes with the library. I want to talk to you about it. I didn't get a chance to discuss with Coach Robinson, so I'll be reaching out to you. Thanks again for it's just awesome. Thank you so much. And enjoy your night.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, Ms. Weber, we appreciate your time and your efforts. It's magnanimous that you're in that position to help so many with so much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Deborah. What's anything?
Oh, don't forget to sign the Stevie Anderson Radio Show up for the ribbon cutting day, so we can come and do a live remote and interview. Everybody's going to be there for the opening. Look, I'm volunteering him right now.
I'll be on the golf course. We'll see. I'll be on the golf course somewhere. I think it's out in Arizona. I think the Waste Management or Hawaiian Open. I don't know. We'll talk about that. All right. So, Ms. Weber, again, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
All right.
Good night.
All right.
Good night.
Alan, I really appreciate you coming on. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry if I sounded
crazy and scrambled. I had an earpiece in my ear with my other phone listening to that broadcast, but I had to come on yours. But they stepped on each other's toes time-wise, so I apologize for sounding too crazy.
I need you to contact me.
I know you got to he's getting ready to go, but
I need you to contact me. We can talk afterwards after the show. Yes, ma'am. You talk afterwards
okay.
after the show. Yes. You want to say anything to Alan before you go? Or you want to talk to
Alan?
Alan, hold on.
I'm here.
Okay, Alan, you ready?
Yeah.
I will. I'm going to cut Alan off. Alan,
but see,
I'm going to cut you guys off.
We can three-way after the show.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, Alan, you want to say anything before you get off, Alan, real quick, like 5 seconds? You want to say anything before you get off, like 10 seconds?
15 seconds. You know, you knocked the odds out. Your contribution, you know, having the, you know, your whole experiences with production and all, you know, that's valuable, especially with the still digital movement that they got now that they just start and they don't know what they got their hands on, but it's going to be very powerful.
Yes. Right.
And your voice, voice is welcome. All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Ms. Gibson, you want to say anything? I'll give you 2 seconds. I know 2 seconds will end up like 1,000 seconds, but go ahead.
I got 2 seconds. Good night, Poochie. Good night, Poochie and Diane Latrice. My baby my niece.
All right. Anything you want to say to the audience? All right. You know what? I got it. All right. Goodbye. I'll talk to you later. And for your callers, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, guys, for joining. Miss Adrian Weber was it's awesome. It's beautiful. I'm excited for it, for what Gremlin is doing for the digital library. However, we're going to make sure that this is just not going to be the library and then the rest of the facilities around Gremlin just deteriorate. This is not just being an office. We're going to make sure this is the latest and the greatest of the new innovation and constructions, state-of-the-art facilities at Gremlin University. Starting to get to the other part of the topic, but guys, hope you guys enjoyed it. It was awesome with Ms. Adrian Weber. Again, guys, I said it before, for your listeners out there, for your BOB, being your own bosses, CEOs, heavy investors, this is the lady that I put my hands in, my faith in right now, Miss Adrian Weber. We'll talk to that point. We get to that at some point. Guys, enjoy your night. Thanks for joining the show.